Hey.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the two questions. There's no point for small talk today, is there? Let's just
No, just get on with it.
get on with it. Two questions I received over message. First one, are you ready?
Hang on.
So
Yeah.
funny that you've got a light bulb above your head
If
constantly.
the that
I don't know what it is. You don't have to show me. Right,
sure.
first question. How do you balance creating autonomy with guiding the client and leadership with partnership? If you often ask, what do you think? What do you want? Etc. all the time, I feel like it creates a lack of trust or safety. If I go to an expert, I want to know what they think or advise after a certain point. For example, if a client comes to their training session and the PT says, what do you want to do today? It doesn't really fill them with confidence, does it? Or is that only with certain personality types? Thanks.
I don't think, okay, yeah, it's a really good question. So it's not about giving complete, it's not about saying to the client, what do you want to do in every single scenario? But when we're creating autonomy, it's going to be based off what the client is having ambivalence over or they're struggling with. More often than not, okay. So instead of here's like a blank canvas, you make every single decision. It's more about if the client is struggling, they're not enjoying it, if they're finding something difficult, that's where autonomy really helps. And the whole MI kind of approach in theory really helps because unless that client has autonomy in helping them overcome, helping themselves overcome that ambivalence, it will kind of be faced with a brick wall. So, and what I mean by that is if, for example, I don't know, someone is struggling with, take a common thing like can't track or their weekends are being messed up or they're finding it hard to get to the sessions or not doing the sessions outside of the PT sessions as example, and you and the client have identified that as an issue, then that's where autonomy starts to really pay dividends because instead of you throwing a million and one suggestions at them, you're helping them have the source of kind of their behavior and a control over what they do, but with guidance. So it's not about giving a blank canvas to the client. It's being used sparingly, I would say, when they're coming up against like issues and barriers. I think that's answered your question, if I remember it correctly.
The only thing that I would add to that is that I used to get frustrated hearing other PTs say to their clients as they entered the gym, what do you want to do today? Right. And I think to what you've just said, like we're creating autonomy within the program. So at the start, regular reviewing their view on their progress by doing certain things like a call or a check-in or whatever. So there's always elements of autonomy in that. But like in the overall plan, like you're the expert in building that, it should be, they should have an element of kind of, there should be an element of that you collaborate on that at the start in regards to you build it together. Essentially, you lead on the overall plan. So I agree, like you shouldn't be turning up to a session, for example, and saying, what do you want to do today? Like it should be the overall plan. You might ask an open question by going, we know what's planned today. Where's your head with it? What's your thoughts? Or oh, I'm looking forward to this, but not looking forward to that. So then you know where their head's at instantly. But apart from that, I agree with what you just said in regards to you kind of only use that from a conflicting perspective when they're ambivalent to change on something. Apart from that, you build it out. The next question to this was, I know it depends on the individual, But can you explain roughly what might be the opposite of a metric-focused personality type, and how do we support them or get the best out of them?
Can you just say that again?
I know it depends on the individual, but can you explain roughly what might be the opposite of a metric-focused personality type, and how do we support them or get the best out of them?
Oh, the opposite to that would be feeling, would be competence, would be self-efficacy. So, you know, when you're not, for example, chasing, when your personality type is opposite of chasing like numbers, like direct feedback from whatever it looks like weight on the bar, weight on the scale, body fat percentage, da 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 da. The opposite of that would be like the feeling like, can I do this thing, which is efficacy. It's competence in regards to going into the gym with that workout and feeling like they can do it with confidence. Just that confidence as well in the process. I think another thing is belief as well, that the that this route is working. Trust, and again, is another one. So more opposite to that would be a lot of how they feel and think they're doing versus the direct feedback that numbers are giving them. So yeah, that's what I would say is a quite clearly direct, absolute opposite of that.
On with the other questions, Nicholas.
But just on that, I do think you can bring in some form of metrics to complement that, because those feelings will massively fluctuate from day to day, right? Hour to hour. So I still think there's a lot of value in helping them quantify that in their own way. Like, did you used to do like food and mood diaries?
No. No, I did food diaries. I didn't do food and mood.
Yeah, I used to do food and mood diaries. So not just as well as like the calorie range, but like how they're feeling, how they're feeling when they're waking up, how they're feeling after, you know, all those bits and pieces. And I think that helps to quantify things a little bit. But anyway, my question to you is, what's your go-to Nando's order?
What do you think my go-to Nando's order is?
Plain chicken.
No, you're wrong.
So
this is where you're
plain chips.
This is where you're ignorant. You hear and see what you want to hear and see, Nick.
No, I hear something else.
No. My go-to Nando's order is a half a chicken, medium spice, peri chips, and then depending on how I feel, I'll either go for the spicy rice too, or bit of broccoli. What's yours? You jumped up, twat.
Oh God. I don't really have a go to. I don't mean.
Oh, good. Next question.
Only actually eat Ando's when I'm with you. To be fair, so I don't know. Change it every time.
One thing that you have done since I've been in your life is you've ate well with me. You've ate very well. I've sorted that. You'd happily go and get a fucking sandwich from Tesco for your lunch, whereas I'd go for a steak on a Domino's.
I can't tell you the last time I did that.
All right, you'd go and get some pieces of chicken and a salad from Tesco's.
Yeah, that's probably what I'd have done, yeah.
All right. And I would make sure that we go and get a decent scran, like a steak, like a Nando's, like a Wagamama. That's what we're doing it. Don't put me on mute. Thought you were going to put me on mute. I've looked after you over these years. You'd be fucked without me. Next question. Any immediate learns from Friday? How did it go for you guys? Etc.
No matter how much We never fucking fit everything in. It doesn't matter what. Learnings, not yet, like some small inklings, but yeah, I mean, I think I would have put the, I've already said this to you, didn't I, on the day, I would have put the kind of thought-provoking stuff like the copy section towards the beginning of the day, or basically not left it to the end, but there were certain sections that we extended like on a whim based on what we were seeing and what we were getting, what feedback we were getting. And that's just the nature of those days, really, because it was a very, like I said at the beginning, it was very, we had an agenda, but we didn't want that agenda to kind of just feed us. We had to take it from you guys. So like always, we never have time to what we want to do, what we plan to do. But that's cool as well, because if we'd, I still feel like we rushed a little bit on some parts. If we had just stuck to the agenda and the timings, you guys would have walked out there with no outcome. So, yeah, I think just taking the creative stuff and maybe thinking about where we place that. But then again, like the creative stuff was planned in for like 11 a.m. or something, half 11, wasn't it? So it wasn't that we didn't do that. I just think the sections we, and I underestimated on how long it would take some bits. But honestly, like, I'm happy if everyone's walked away with some good bits of work. But no, I love those days. They're brilliant. They're great. What was your thoughts?
My thoughts are that it was extremely valuable in a sense of, as brutal as this may sound, locking people away and making sure that you do the things that you need to do that normally frustrate you. And like, I had a bit of a rant at the, not a rant, you know, I just got on my high horse at the start of the day, didn't I? Where I talked about majority of the overwhelm, procrastination and pain and self-doubt and self-belief issues that you might have with your business normally comes from the same as like your clients, lack of structure, routine, measurable points and accountability. And that's easy to say and not hard. It's not easy to apply sometimes, hence why doing it on the day like that is really helpful, because you've got all the nitty gritty stuff down. All you've got to do then is go back and prioritize it and plan forward. So yeah, I think in that sense, really good, like really good. I think you learn, every time we do this, we learn a little bit more. There's kind of, you sit there and go, that probably could have just been a day of, well, it more or less was, wasn't it? A day of marketing. Instead of it being Q2, there was more or less Q2 finances, Q2 revenue, Q2 marketing, lead magnets. It was a day of that, wasn't it? Where we planned for a little bit. So yeah, what we find is like over the years, it's focusing more on the detail of the main thing that most people struggle with. And that's having structure, routine, and focus on the stuff that you don't enjoy, which is marketing, lead gen. So for that, I think it went really well. Yeah. Next
Next.
Question. Go on then. It's yours.
That's yours.
I asked you the last one.
Yeah. When on earth do you fit in your own training?
6 a.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday is about 7 a.m. And if I don't do it there at that point, it's 90% of the time I miss it. Because simply, as soon as 5 o'clock comes, I have dad life kicks in, and till 9 o'clock at night, usually I'm busy. So that's how I fit it in. And the consequence of missing it is usually, the consequence of missing it at 6 a.m. is usually missing it altogether. So yeah, my As I've got busier, my expectations of doing 5 or 6 sessions a week have lowered, or what I expect from myself. But the target is that I try for my non-negotiables to train at 6 a.m. every day. I don't want to train at 6 a.m. every day. I would absolutely love, and people who sit there and go, yeah, but you're running your own business, you are in control of your own time. I would absolutely love to train at, say, 10 o'clock every day. And it is possible, but the way my dad life creeps in at 5 o'clock, it's not possible in that sense. So yeah, that's how I fit it in. I fit it in at a time that I don't really want to do it, but I need to do it there because I can't have the best of all worlds. Anything you would add to that?
I'd agree. I think, I'm exactly the same. I'd love to train like 9:30, 10. But I'm the same. Half six Tuesday to Friday. Tonight is the only day I would train in the evening. But yeah, making that a non-negotiable. It's important for both of us, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, listen, it's important. We could probably take the opinion of that it's important for absolutely everybody. And I think when you're planning your week as a coach, the first non-negotiables that need to go into your week is your days off, isn't it? And then off the back of that is the time that, whether it's for your kids or the time in your hobbies, the time that you're absolutely not working, that should be your second priority. I think your third priority should be your training. It really should. Your third priority should be your training. Now, you could argue then go, well, if it is your training, why are you not training at 10 o'clock every day? Well, it's because I have to finish at 4, half 4 every day, and I can't work again until 8:30 at night. And the likelihood of me training at 8:30 at night is slim. I'd rather do an hour of work. If I'm dead honest, that's just how I'm just used to doing things now. But 7 years ago, I used to train at 8:30 at night when I'd finished all my clients in the day. So it just very much depends on where you're at. But I'd be up there and say it's the second and third most priority thing that you put in your schedule before anything else.
Agreed.
Our 3 to 5 must do daily tasks if trying to increase engagement and following. Not have Ant do your content because you'll piss loads of people off and lose your followers anyway. There's one tip.
Number one is going to be making sure that you're talking to specific person or group of people. I know you probably know this one, but I think it's something that when you're trying to do volume, you can lose track of sometimes. The second one is make sure that you're inviting engagement as much as possible. Like you can't just expect to put posts out and expect people to reach out and talk to you and whatnot. So you've got to create that curiosity. You've got to position things in a way where it's the way that your market think, feel, talk, see, do. And you, in my opinion, like leading on to that, you've got to prime people as well. Like priming is one of the probably the most consistent constant thing in marketing that is used, and that's getting people to say, yeah, that's me, that's what I'm thinking, that's what I'm feeling, that's what I'm doing, that's what I want, that's what I need, that's my problem, that's my frustration, because that will create that relatability and common ground for engagement. So I think that's a really important thing, that when your focus is on creating content, is that we factor in and we try and do as much as possible. I think, what was that? Three, two, three. Doo, 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 doo. I think the next one is it doesn't all just have to be about fitness and health and the goal. I think creating common ground is learning and understanding what people's interests are and what they're looking at and common trends they will be attracted by. And again, using that for engagement, using that for conversations, using that for common ground. So again, I think that's a big one as well. Showing lifestyle, your lifestyle, because again, that will create common ground. So it's all around the same thing, but hopefully the main point you take out of this is that yes, content is going to be important, like grid content, post reels, etc. But bridging the gap of creating that common ground and relatability is where you're going to get engagement from. Anything you'd add?
No.
Well, that's bloody excellent, isn't it? Question from experience, what kinds of things work best for local area marketing?
I think from experience, it's changed. From my experience is slightly different to now. So I would go with, first and foremost, I'd prioritize ads for local area marketing. Secondly, I prioritize community groups for local area marketing now on Facebook. I would do that. I think first as well, you've got to make sure word of mouth marketing in a local area is massive. So I know you can't, it's really difficult to measure that sometimes, but you could put things in place from a referral perspective in and around the local area quite easily. But I would go ads, community groups, and if you want to do some manual stuff, events. So doing some elements of events to bring people to you, or you going to them, whether it's workplace and so on. I think they would be my top three. What about you?
Yeah, but agree with those. Yeah, I think just that, getting the community, leaning on the community, inviting the community, like, to do something. So two examples, three examples I've got are Katie, who runs like a free boot camp every Saturday morning for her market. Another one is literally local to me. A guy started a 5 a.m. running club free, and he must have 40, 50 people turn up every morning at 5 a.m. to run in the park. And I think he's planning on opening a gym soon off the back of the awareness that's created. So I'm not saying you have to do a running club, but I'm saying, like, get out there into the community and create opportunities. And yeah, that's what I'd say, probably.
Like it, some good questions.
Yes, very good questions today.
Any final thoughts before we go on the Instagram live?
No, not really.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Great. Great. I tell you what, I hope you all enjoy your days, your weeks. And we'll see you soon, won't we, Nick?
Won't we? We will. We will.
Ta-ra.
Bye.